This is Phil Ferrand, and I am not driving home today. I'm actually going to be running sound for the church for Sunday. It's Thursday, so I'm going to be running rehearsal here in just a few minutes, and I got to get some writing done, and I got to get some supper, so this is going to be fairly quick, and I am not going to do this topic justice at all. But what I'm talking about today is actually an eight or nine minute TED talk. So hopefully I can ramble on for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes or so, and then we'll be done. I've been wanting to talk about beauty for quite a while now because there are some things that I find fascinating about beauty and its responses and its effect, particularly on women. And I came across a TED talk called Beauty and How We're Obsessed with the Wrong Idea by Christina Gressenau for the TEDxFOCO. I'm not sure what that stands for, but she had some nice thoughts. And you can kind of see this around the edges of what she's talking about here. I think there's some more stuff in the middle, and frankly, I don't know that I've got all the stuff that's in the middle. Although I'm having more conversations and will continue to having conversations about this, hopefully with more female friends, so that I can understand a little better of what's going on in here. I think I have the foundation for it, but we'll see. Anyways, so she shares some anecdotes. She's a photographer. She's been doing photography professionally for 12 years. And one of the things she said is that when she's photographing women, you know, moms, ladies, business ladies, grandmas, whatever. She said in almost, you know, 100%, she said 98% of them, she said, we always have this conversation about how they look and what they don't like about themselves, what they're self-conscious about. And she said, it's pretty much present in every woman that I photograph. And she said, it's almost like this self-deprecating conversation is cool. That if we point out the things that we hate about ourselves, that that's cool. And she said, what I often do in Photoshop is I remove the distractions that women are going to focus on so that they can actually look at themselves and determine that they're beautiful. She said, so for instance, I slim an arm on a perfectly slender girl so she doesn't look at it, and she'll just look at her eyes and then she'll decide she's beautiful. And she acknowledged that part of the reason we're comparing ourselves to women in magazines, that we're having these problems, is that we're comparing ourselves to women in magazines. I don't really think that's the core of the problem, but that is certainly one of the contributors. That she was absolutely right. She said we've got these role models on magazines that we compare ourselves to. And she said, we know that they're photoshopped. We know that they're not real. She said, but we compare ourselves to them because that's what we do. Okay, when I hear somebody say that, I want to say, okay, well, why is that what we do? I've mentioned before that I often hear TED Talks like this where the statement is made, women need to feel beautiful for their self-concept, or beauty is how we define ourselves. And the question is why? Why is that true? She talks about her stepdaughter, she said, who's 13. And she said, I just point a camera at her. She starts making goofy faces. She looks at the photos. They're goofy looking. She says, oh, great, I should put that on Facebook. You know, and she's trying to say, why aren't more of us like that? That's a clue. You know, a 13-year-old daughter, that's a clue. Why is she so seemingly carefree? And yet, many, many women are really bound up and concerned about their weight and what the size of their pants is and whether or not they're quote-unquote beautiful. And why do so many women engage in this conversation of self-hate? And the statement that the presenter made that's similar to statements I've heard in other talks is because for women, our sense of worth is inexorably tied to our sense of beauty. And it has nothing to do with what we actually look like, but how we feel about what we look like. So that's kind of interesting. And she talked about, you know, that obviously there's industries out there that recognize this. Yes, there are. the fashion industry, the cosmetics industry. And she absolutely said something I agree with. She said, you know, for her, she enjoys makeup. And she said, if you're doing it just because it's fun and you like color and you like a change every once in a while, she said, that's fine. But she said she feels like there's a problem when we're having all this cosmetic surgery because we're trying to measure ourselves against the wrong things. And that is absolutely true. So she said, you know, we all know, she said, if you really get down to it, she said, what we're scared of, she says, it doesn't matter if you intellectually know something. She said, there's fear behind this. Yes, there is. And she said, we're all scared of being ugly. And again, why? And she began to give some of the reasons that I absolutely agree with. She said, we know in our hearts that beauty is power. We know that people who are pretty make more money. They talk their way out of tickets. They get bought drinks. They have more dates. So we want to be beautiful. So those are all clues, etc. She says we're also confused about beauty, super confused about beauty, because we know that it comes from within, but it shows up on the outside, so we get to working on the outside, and we're confused because we know that beauty is power, but if you work too hard on the outside, then you're vain. You know, so there is obviously a goal that's trying to be attained here from beauty. And the questions become then, where does that goal come from? Are the things that are trying to be attained worth attaining? Are they valid goals? And are there other things that are going on that would be more worthwhile pursuit? Because, you know, all of this chase for beauty, and especially as it cascades down through the generations, you know, it's not necessarily healthy. And she was talking about the fact that, you know, if you just really do the studies of what is considered beautiful, she said there's three big things that are universal. She said facial symmetry is universal. She said a 75% hip-to-waist ratio is considered beautiful. And there was one more, clear skin, that's the other one. She said what's interesting about all this, and I've heard this before, is that these are indicators of good health. So that's a key too. What we consider beautiful are indicators of good health. Why should that be? And what can we discover from that? She said the great thing about this 75% ratio is she said it says nothing about how big your breasts are, it says nothing about how big your hips are, or how big your waist is. As long as there's a 75% ratio, that is a universal standard of beauty between the waist and the hips. And she said, what's interesting is if you get women who have higher than that, like an 80% ratio, she said they're more likely to have a host of illnesses. So it's actually health, beauty, what we consider beauty and the potential responses to beauty really are tied to health. And so her suggestion was to try to step away from this and get into a cycle of how I take care of myself, how I promote my own health, reflects on how I feel about myself, which then helps me take care of myself better, and you're in this cycle, and she's hoping that this cycle then helps. And she said, you have to, and this is where, of course, my ears perked up because it sounded familiar. She said, you have to identify the voice in your head who's whispering in your ear and telling you what's wrong, and telling you there's something wrong when you look in the mirror and this thing right here is bad and that, when no one else is even looking at that. So she's talking about the fact there is this voice that is, in my words, tormenting you. So that was all very interesting. She said, there are some things that are just practical things. So she said, I don't care what you think about your butt. She said, the chairs you're sitting in would be less comfortable if you didn't have that. And that's true. There are some very practical things. And she said, and when you're looking at all these images, you need to keep in mind that the media, they're just out there to get you to spend money. So they're going to put skinny girls on magazines because that's how they make money, because people want to look at them. And she said, what you need to do is create your own images of the people you love and that you care for, and not continually have this conversation of self-hate. So this is all very interesting to me. And like I said, I don't have all the pieces of this lined up. I'm still working on it. I'm going to be having more conversations. But in this effort to sort of understand this and look at it, it seems to me that there's some interesting things going on here. I think, first of all, at a very profound and basic level, there are interactions between the gender that are for the propagation of the species. So there is this base wiring that we have. There's no question. We have base wiring that drives men and women into certain directions, and as part of that, the species propagates. Now, that's not necessarily always beneficial for the individuals who are part of that species. It's not supposed to be beneficial for them. It's supposed to keep the species going. But then I think what's really important to layer on top of that is to understand that we have this base level of things, urges, thoughts, attractions, those kind of things. But then on top of that, we have two other levels, and that is we have the flesh and spirit on top of that. And so we can, in the spirit, interact with those base levels. We can also, in the flesh, interact with those base levels. And those are going to produce wildly different results. And if the flesh is simply out to destroy us, then it's going to take things that are just natural things, and it's going to try to drive them. And I think it's very simple to find examples in recent times with the Harvey Weinstein stuff and with all of the women who are coming forward to see that the flesh does take these very natural drives, and it drives them out to create ugliness, to create destruction, to create fear. You know, the thought that I had that was kind of interesting is there's no lioness who is out on the plains and the savannas of Africa who is sitting there eating that fresh kill of meat that is thinking, man, this fatty meat is going to go straight to my hips. I mean, no lioness is out there thinking about that. And yet that lioness has all the basic drives for the propagation of the species. You know, that lioness is going to mate, that lioness is going to have cubs, all those things are at work and generating. So at a very base level, you've got engines that are going on, but they're not getting interpreted like they get interpreted in humans. So what is then the thing that reinterprets these things and brings so much chaos and turmoil and self-hate? In my opinion, that would be the flesh. And, you know, unfortunately, what happens is the flesh takes these very normal, natural drives and then warps them. And then the world sits out there and sees these very normal, natural drives and warps them. And there is this inherent promise that is made within the context of beauty, because there is some truth then there that gets pushed. So what is this concept that gets pushed? And that is, I think, down at the base level, this idea of this princess syndrome. That why we have been given this idea that if you can just be beautiful enough, you can be safe, your life can be easier, you can have more children to protect you. You can, beauty is the pathway whereby you can create your own salvation. And you never have to be concerned again. Except, even though the flesh is propagating that, even though the world is propagating it, it never happens. Never, ever happens. Because you can go find TED Talks, one in particular by a supermodel, and she will tell you that the most insecure people in the world are supermodels. Because yes, they live a life of privilege, but at any time it can be taken away. So there's no peace, there's no contentment there. And I think what is bound in with all of this beauty is some of the reproductive imagings as well. I want to be desirable as a mate because being desirable as a mate means that I'm protected. Being desirable as a mate means I get to have children and I fulfilled my duty to the species, and then those children can go ahead and fulfill me. And they can go ahead and protect me when I get older. And so there is this idea of self-preservation through the rituals of reproduction. And I've been thinking a lot lately about the fact that we really need to be very aware of how the rituals of reproduction are infesting our behaviors, are infesting our attitudes, because the flesh is very good at taking those and then twisting them and causing havoc and destruction in our lives. And so I'm going to be thinking more about that whole thing, but I think with beauty, if a person just loves colors and they love fashion and they love, you know, funky outfits, and then it's, you know, that's fabulous. But if all you're doing is slathering paint on the outside and dressing because you're really hoping that somehow magically that's going to take care of the fear within, somehow magically that's going to make you feel more valuable as a person, that is never going to happen. And while the young lady who did this talk thinks that you can talk your way into this by simply taking care of yourself, getting healthier, feeling better about yourself, and then taking care of yourself and getting healthier and feeling about yourself, that's really not going to do it. What you really have to do is what she suggested later, and then that is isolating that voice. That voice of destruction within, isolating that voice and saying, I'm not going to listen to you. And frankly, I don't know people who, without a re-energized spirit, how they can get in control of that voice. I know that the Buddhists and the Hindus are very much on trying to suppress ego and trying to be more self-conscious about kindness and compassion and generosity and all those things. And a lot of them do a great job at it. I've just found that within Christ and the powering of Christ, it's a whole lot easier than just gritting your teeth and trying to get through it. So I do think that this draw and this need for beauty is in large part a complication of the flesh taking the rituals of reproduction and amplifying them through and making claims about the satisfaction that you'll find then if you just take care of the external. Because the flesh loves to do that. It loves to give us tasks that it knows we're going to fail at. Because then as we fail, then it can come back and pound on us and make us more and more and more and more discouraged and lead us into other things. And even more destructive behavior. So it's really, you know, it's really interesting. And as I said, I'm going to start a series of conversations about some of these things and talking about some of these things with friends, because this is a fascinating area to me. Now, you know, the fact that this woman's 13-year-old daughter
enjoys making goofy faces and she doesn't care what people think and yada, yada, yada. I wonder if once this daughter has passed completely through puberty and then she's in a condition where she's looking around now that she's fertile and she's trying to acquire resources to herself so that in the future she might be able to have a family and be protected. See, as soon as that starts up, then there is this idea of competition that comes in. And once this idea of competition that comes in and you start playing this zero-sum game of I have to attract the best resources so that I can nest and I can reproduce, then you can get into these weird mind games of, well, I know that that picture on that magazine is photoshopped, but the expectation of the people I'm trying to attract as resources is that that's what the ideal woman looks like, and I can't ever get there. And I hate the fact that I can't ever get there because I'm afraid that if I can't get there, I can't build the resources that I need to be protected, to reproduce, to then have my offspring protect me. And that's kind of a working hypothesis right now. I don't know if that's kind of what's going on in there, but, you know, there's pieces of that that at least have some vague corollary to what I experience as a man. So I don't know. There'll be more to come. There'll be more to come on this. But I'm not satisfied with this idea of, well, for women, beauty is just important to their self-concept, period. Because I'm far more interested in, okay, but what are the motivations? What are the reward structures? What are the things that we think will benefit us if we had beauty? And what is driving that? And I think an easy, safe bet is that somehow underneath all that, it's being driven by the flesh. Because it's a very inward-turning, very surface-type existence when you're just waiting for people to look at you and judge you beautiful. This is Phil Farrand, and I've made it to the end of my ramblings, but I'm not home yet.